Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 22nd, 178th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt Community Services District Executive Director. No, General Manager.
There you go.
Dave Hall.
Happy Monday, Brian.
I was focusing on the district part.
I know you were.
And then that district became director.
Yeah,
just kind of mushed.
It's Monday.
Yeah. our quote this morning, in honor of Jordan Spieth and the golf course that everybody was whining about, which I kind of thought was cool. You know, they're whining like everybody else does when they play golf. Gee, what a stunner.
Yeah.
This is from Bobby Jones. Quote, it's nothing new or original to say that golf is played one stroke at a time, but it took me many years to realize it. Yeah.
You got a new quote book, I see.
No, actually, this is an old one Gary Eagles got about 3 years ago.
Okay.
But it's all golf.
Yeah, I see that.
So, you know, unless there's a golf reason, it's kind of specious. Yeah. So I'm waiting for a water one.
I should get you one.
Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I suppose the big news since last we got together in May is that Some of the state folks kind of had an epiphany.
They did.
And reset the numbers back down to kind of where they should have stayed.
You should have stayed in the beginning, exactly.
What happened to drive that 24% you were staring at down to 4%?
Yeah, well, let me back up just a second, just to catch everybody up. You remember back a few months ago, there was really two state initiatives that one the governor did, one the State Water Resources Control Board was really in charge of, and one of them set a bunch of prohibitions on, you know, washing your car without a nozzle. You can't do that. Can't have a fountain that runs just water in and out. It has to be recirculating. Can't let your sprinklers go on the sidewalk, those kind of things. That was one set. The other one, the governor came out and said, okay, statewide we're going to reduce our water consumption by 25% between June 1st and February. And that's a monthly reduction. The State Water Resources Control Board, Dan, to get to your question.
Mr. Gay, don't rush.
Set up a tiered system, recognizing that some places had already done some work in conservation, some had not so much. There was several different ways the state could have done it. Basically, they took a July through September of 2014 average and said, all right, you're going to fit into a tier based on how much your average residential per capita use is. In our case up here, we ended up between Arcata, Eureka, our district, McKinleyville Community Services District, Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. We ran the whole range from 8% reduction was required to having a 28% reduction. We at the Humboldt Community Services District were at 24%. Well, because we have Ruth Lake, and it's filled four times this year, it's not going over the spillway right now, but it's still essentially full. We've, on several occasions, said to the state, gosh, we have several years of supply here that's going to go a lot farther than the end of their mandate, which was February of 2016. So how about how about a little something for the effort? We're already conserving well up here. We're already got lots of storage. And on several occasions, we asked the state to drop it down. They came down and said we could have a 4% reduction amongst those big agencies.
It's 8:19.
You're listening to Destination Radio. If you live here on California's North Coast or on the Curry Coast of Oregon, we're here to help you with things to do and places to see that are not too far from home. If you're visiting our beautiful area, we'll tell you about the events and destinations that will make you want to stay a little longer. What roads to take for spectacular scenery, where to hike in the forests and over the sand dunes, where to ride your bike or paddle a canoe. Coming soon to a radio near you, 790 AM, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Hull from the Humboldt Community Services District. David, as you had this thing roll out a couple months ago, I know there was panic in the streets, so to speak, because our area had already done the easy stuff and really pretty much had already achieved what the goals were based on the reference year. Other communities had ignored it, and then they had low-hanging fruit that they could punch this out. When the change came through, came through at the 4%, was it cause for relief? Or did you do what I would have done and had to go on a little walk outside and yell at the trees and compliment the timing and the decision and the whole process that the state just squeezed us through for the last 10 weeks that pretty much proved to be all for nothing?
I think it was more of a cause for celebration because I've been doing this for 30-some years, so it's pretty much SOP. But you made a good point in the beginning there.
Silent L.
Yes. We did have the residents around our area, of course, are very environmentally conscious, and they already watch water use and stuff anyway. And so the inequity that we saw was that we're already doing real good here. We have, 50 to 70 gallons per person per day kind of use. Down in Southern California, it may be 300. And so clearly there's, having us cut 24% and having the city of Rancho Cucamonga cut 24%, that, somehow it didn't quite add up. But I think that's part of the problem you get in the system that we have, where you have an emergency measure come down. And it's given to some agency to figure out what to do with this executive order. And so I think the State Water Resources Control Board was diligent in trying to figure that out. Like I said earlier, I think they could have figured out some other way to handle it, but they didn't. And so we got this. The good news is, though, of course, that they did come back with this 4% reduction, which all of our agencies around here already exceed now from what we did. So people are doing great.
This was kind of like a two-headed dragon. You had the one side cut reduction, the other side cash flow associated with water use. Okay, so if one was taken care of, was the other also?
Yes, actually. At the 4%, we don't let me go at it the other direction. I think we talked the last time I was on here, in the middle of a budget process, we were looking at what a 24% reduction in our operating, in our water sales would be. And that ended up being about a 10% reduction in our operating budget. So it was, $700,000 to $800,000 of lost revenue if everybody cut back and we had to stick with the 24%. Now, the state had originally said, we want you to do, this goes back several months, a conservation pricing kind of a scheme where you can charge more to water users that use a lot of water and not. Well, that got at least one city sued because of not following the Prop 218 rules, where you can only have fees for those kind of rates that are based on the actual cost of service. And just because you use more, there's not essentially more cost, or at least the city didn't make the case, so it's all in court and blah, blah, blah. So the state wasn't happy with that. But that took away really the only tool that we had, which is not one that we wanted to use anyway. I think what at the end of the day, though, where we are at 4%, I think everybody around here budget-wise is very pleased that that's something that's doable. It's equitable. It makes sense. It was a lot of work. And just one last thing, I'd like to plug the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District. They were really the lead on taking the bull by the horns and coordinating our efforts to try and get this reduction in. So
are you kissing up to Carol, who's going out, or to Phil?
Yeah, that's her happy retirement.
Yeah. So Phil gets no traction on
Paul
that one.
Paul gets nothing. Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's going to be fun working with him. I just met him the other day.
Yeah, he was out here last week. He seems like a regular guy.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
To have some of those. So, Dave, as you're looking at, I mean, when you say 700,000, I'm flashing, that seems to be a pretty common number these days of a whole that are being worked with government entities. What does it mean to you? Less pipe being replaced in the ground? Does it mean a little bit more aging, a little bit more lube for the pumps instead of replacing them? I mean, that's still, in regular guy terms, that's a pretty good chunk of change that somehow is being squeezed out of something, but we're not going to be feeling the impact of it.
This is the way we played it, because we had a good discussion during our budget workshop this year on this exact thing, because it was so much up in the air. We had sort of a multi-tiered sort of approach. The bottom line, to get to the end of the story, is we decided to leave our water revenue where it was last year. Last year, we were also under some restrictions, and last year, we'd also cut some. People had conserved a little bit, so the revenue was down a little bit. We thought, well, let's stick with that. If this reduction didn't come through, and if this and if that and if the wheels started falling off, then in mid-year we would do just what you're saying. We would go back and look at capital improvement projects that we had scheduled that we didn't that we could cut. And so you end up in that typical public trap of deferring maintenance. Well, we'll save it for next year, and next year sort of never comes, and then all of a sudden it's a cataclysm somewhere down the road. So we've tried real hard to keep up with the infrastructure maintenance and improvement in our district. And so that'd be a bad thing to go backwards.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with the general manager of the Humboldt Community Services District, Dave Hull. Dave, as you look at this whole thing with the water and the exercise associated with it, was it healthy for the organization? Was it a nuisance? Was it detrimental to go through this whole effort? I mean, if you look at it, all the pluses and minuses and the time and the money and all that kind of stuff all put together, the public input, was, even though it came out to be neutral, were there some pluses, or was it all the way I'm thinking?
Well, I guess I have kind of two thoughts on that. That's a good question. I'm going to give you the politically correct one first.
It's always let's stop the tapes on this one. We don't care about this one.
It's never a bad thing to, you know, sort of go through a drill or an exercise and test your system and look at things and kind of go through familiarizing, you know, staff with what would we do if we had these kind of things. We probably would never sit down and look at this stuff, even though we had, you know, things on the books from the last drought in 76, 77. You know, they haven't been enacted for that. And we've, you know, pretty much, well, all the staff is different than it was back then. And so this is all a new thing. And so it's... Yes,
it's been 40 years, man. Things have changed a little bit.
so you know, it's never bad to have that kind of a refresher and go through that drill and that exercise, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and it's maybe good to tune this stuff up but not in a panic mode, right? And which is why you do exercises, is so that you have some of this stuff cleared, some of the steps cleared, so that when it becomes real, you're ready to go, and you know what you're going to do, and there isn't the panic. On this particular instance thing, it was to me annoying, just because of the way the state actually had handled it originally. I think it could have been more regionally handled, so that we got to this result earlier in the process. Of course, being a state agency, when you get an executive order or even something from the legislature, maybe just dumped on you to go figure it out, and especially if it's an emergency thing, you know, you got to have a little sympathy for the staff trying to figure out how to implement something like this. I think a regional approach would have been better because it's, you know, we have a big state and there's lots of climate zones in the state and lots of different demands for water and water availability. But they didn't choose that way. So we kind of had to live with what they came up with, which we all thought was pretty inequitable. And I think the state ultimately recognized that also. It just took a concerted, nice, unified effort up here to get it done. How was that? You shaking your head.
I guess we all spell PC differently.
Yeah.
Dave, were there, when you went through the old plan, granted it was almost 40 years old, so things had changed. Did you find the things that you were looking for? Did you find things that will help the organization in the future? Or was it just kind of updating things to current code and current case law and really no education resulted from going back and going through that process?
No, I think to answer the end of it first, I think we did have some education because it familiarized ourselves with that piece of our code. It actually is, we have a water shortage emergency piece of our code, but it's only triggered if the board passes a resolution saying, we recognize there's a drought, and so let's go. The beauty of that old code section, and again, this is from 76, 77, is really its simplicity, which allows it to be very flexible. It basically says, we recognize there's a drought, and you know it has some very general things about conserving water, very general things. But more importantly, it gives the general manager the authority to set fines, to insert programs, all this kind of stuff, without actually spelling them out. So what we did is we were able to initiate this code section with a resolution, and then we just plugged in the state mandates that came along, the don't wash the sidewalk down and those kind of things. We just plugged those in. And we plugged in the state's fine, which was a mandated thing, also the $500 a day.
So you were able to do that as staff rather than having to go through the public hearings and the city and the council or the electeds, and it gives you that time.
Yes.
To be able to pull the trigger today rather than have to wait two
right,
or three
months. And what you're referring to is in an ordinance procedure, to set up a new ordinance, there are several public hearings, there's publication of the ordinance, there's this and that. By having this already in the code, already was an ordinance back in 76, we could just, by resolution, pull the trigger on this thing and get it started and insert the thing. So it was very public, very transparent sort of process to get it going, but the whole code piece was already in place.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll talk other stuff when we come back with Dave Hull.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. So, Dave, if this hadn't been much ado about nothing and you hadn't gotten hit with this and it was just kind of life as normal, what else would you have been doing this time of the year? Where would the district have been, or what's now out there on your plate?
Well, I think we're continuing to do the same thing we would have anyway. It's just that now we have a little more time to do it. So we're continuing to do infrastructure improvements to the district. That's largely what we do: replace sewer lines and water lines and new services and things like that. As we talked about a year ago, that we had gone through a sphere of influence process, which was expanding our sphere, and it ultimately ended up with we have about 9.5 more square miles in our sphere than we do. So that's not our official boundary. That's another boundary that's bigger than our official boundary, but it sets the stage for people that might want to annex to our district and become a part of the official boundary. So we've actually got that in place now. And with that in place, with what goes along with that called the Municipal Service Review that looks at how many customers could be out there, where are the developable areas, all this kind of stuff. We've got a lot of nice data that hadn't been in place or hadn't been looked at really since the 80s. So we've got a lot of that information in place. So we've embarked on what we're calling a water management alternatives analysis, which we're going kind of back to, again, another 1980s plan, looked at, does the district need some wells here or there? Is it all water from Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District in the city of Eureka? Is it this? Is it that? And taking into account the growth that we're projecting now, looking in the from these reports that we've just completed and the sphere change that we've made, looking at all that in a pile, we say, okay, what are we going to do with what are we looking at in the next 20 years? And so we've just kicked off that analysis, which we're pretty excited about. So we can that will help direct us to making appropriate infrastructure improvements over the next few years, rather than kind of doing the one-off, ooh, somebody's over here, we need to go do that. We get enough of that anyway, but it's nice to have a big, large, overall master plan of what we're going to be doing for the next 20 years.
That's what I was thinking as you were describing it. One of the beauties, I guess, of a services district is you're much more single-tasked. You're not worried about all these other things, so you can kind of focus in. You're not going to get a 300-unit development dropped in, boom. You're going to have enough lead time to be able to work with this thing, to incorporate it and fold it into the system without panic. So
yep.
It's kind of like the opposite of what the state did.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Well, it should be, for sure. I think we practice that, but it really should be. I think there's some special districts that maybe don't operate that way, but all of ours around the area here that deal with water certainly do. We look ahead and work with the customers. I mean, we have the philosophy that we're here to help the customers comply with the regulations and make it work. So we're helping them succeed at what they're doing. That's what our role is.
The sphere of influence that you were alluding to, is that if requested, or do you see that as an expansion of the district that you're trying to accomplish?
This was the sphere of influence, the that whole 9.4 extra square miles that we picked up, none of those were things where we sat around and said, gee, it'd be neat if we could someday annex this. These were all customer driven things. These were parts of our district or outside our district but contiguous that either have their wells are drying up or they have bad water quality anyway or. And so these were all kind of customer requests that came in. So we go ahead and put them into the thing. So now it's back in their lap to decide if they actually want to annex into the district or not.
Must be nice to breathe.
Yes.
Breathe proudly, man.
We won't talk about drought again.
There you go.
Until next year.
There you go. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out making a good day. See you then.